We've had a number of scripture readings. We have seen the Christmas story, the Nativity, acted out in front of us. Allow me for just a few minutes to share some thoughts from the scriptures about Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas. We live in a world that has become so highly commercialized, and I'm amazed every year that they come up with something new, a new angle of how to sell products for Christmas time. And, you know, it's become all about giving gifts, buying things. I read one report last evening that every Christmas, $7 billion is spent on gifts. $7 billion. Imagine how many people that could help, how many people that could feed, how many wells of water that could provide if we use that money in those ways. It's interesting, when I was on my trip with the team down in Honduras in Roatan, at one point I had an opportunity to interact with some young people, and they were asking some questions about Christmas. And a couple of the young people there were pretty sharp. They were smart. And, you know, one of them asked me the question. They said, Pastor or PT, everybody started calling me, they said, isn't it true that, you know, December 25th really isn't even Jesus' birthday? And I said, you're right, you're correct. They said, well then why is it December 25th? And I said, well, that's a date that the institutional church picked because there were so many conflicting dates. And yes, we know a lot of the background with that. And, you know, the most important point is that it gave them a date to celebrate the birth of Christ. They went on to say, well, you know, I'm not sure about the whole idea of Christmas. They said, it seems very commercialized, doesn't it? I said, you're right. Now, understand, I was going through a translator, so maybe I wasn't catching all of it. But then I said, let me ask you a question. I said, when it's your birthday, who gets the gifts? And they said, well, I do. I said, well, let me ask you another question. I said, on the December 25th, the day that we have scheduled for Jesus' birthday, I said, on Jesus' birthday, who gets the gifts? And they kind of looked sheepish and they said, we do. You see, it's easy to be a critic of Christmas. It's easy to be a critic of, you know, the institutional church over the centuries that, well, they fudged the date and so on and so forth. And that's true. And we don't make a big deal of that. We don't, you know, keep that under wraps, so to speak. But I think the more important point is that what do we do with Christmas? What's the real meaning of Christmas? This is the Advent season that we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. And so, you know, it's okay to give gifts. As I've gotten older, I've become less of a Scrooge about gifts, giving gifts. In fact, I have to give a public confession. You know, I was put on the spot to do a public confession during the Roatan Honduras trip because one evening we turned the TV on and Elf was on. And I actually watched it and I actually laughed at Elf. It's still really stupid. But I laughed. So I guess I'm becoming less of a Scrooge as I get older. So giving gifts is fine. And, you know, we can go back to the tradition of St. Nicholas who gave gifts to the poor, and we can say, therefore, we give gifts to each other. Maybe you ought to think about giving gifts to the poor a little bit more in honor of St. Nick. Well, the main point is that this, Christmas is really not about those things. It's okay to give gifts, but Christmas is really about this. It's about celebrating Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is born into this world to be the Messiah, the Christ. And He is the Savior. As we read just a moment ago, He is Emmanuel, God with us. And so as we read the accounts, we're struck by several things. Number one is this, that the angels declare that the Holy Spirit is going to conceive a son. This Holy Spirit-conceived son is going to be named Jesus. Now, we're familiar with that name. In fact, in our culture, it's used very often. Sometimes it's used as a curse word. It's funny that people don't use other religious figures as a curse word. You don't hear somebody say, "Oh, Confucius," or "Man, Muhammad." You know, they don't do that. But for some reason, they feel free to use Jesus Christ's name as a curse. Well, we hear the word Jesus, and perhaps we're so familiar with it that we have forgotten its significance, its meaning. When we look at the name Jesus, it's in the Hebrew, it's Yeshua. And the word Yeshua is really a combination of two words. It's a shortened form of Yahweh, God's name, covenant name. And the word Shua means salvation. So the word simply means the Lord saves. Jesus means the Lord saves. And so when Jesus came and the angel declares, he is to be Jesus, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. We're familiar with the beautiful scripture of John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And in that scripture, it says why God sent the world, sent His Son, because we can ask the question, why did God send His Son into the world? And the answer is because He loved us. You know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and by that He means the world of people, for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Jesus was sent into the world because God loved us and wants to save us. Well, what else is there about Christmas that's significant? Number two, we see that the angel, in declaring that Jesus was going to be coming, He was going to be conceived by the Spirit, and you were to call Him Emmanuel. This is actually fulfilling a prophecy from Isaiah from 725 B.C. I want you to think about this a minute. When I was coming up, there was a figure who was pretty popular. Her name was Jean Dixon. Anybody remember her? Yeah, the real old people like me remember her. And her famous thing was that as the new year was about to come, she would give her famous predictions. And, I guess she made an income doing that. And growing up, I remember my grandmother used to get the Inquirer, that crazy paper, you know, has like two-headed dogs on it and things like that. And Jean Dixon's predictions would be in there. And you read those things. I remember reading them as a kid, and they'd be like, this is stupid. You know, say, well, there's going to be a war in the Middle East. Well, there's been a war in the Middle East almost every year for the last 1,000 years. That's not much of a prediction. And there would be all these generalized predictions. And I remember looking at it a couple months after she had given it, and only like one of hers vaguely even came true. And as the year went on, people kind of forgot about it. She'd already gotten her paycheck, so she didn't really care. Here's the thing. Almost 3 millennia, 3,000 years from today, this scripture was given by the prophet Isaiah. We read it earlier. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin, the Alma. The Alma means a young maiden. And there's been a lot of discourse about the fact that it doesn't literally mean the word virgin. We understand that. But the word Alma, or young maiden, implies that this is a woman who's not yet married, and she is a virgin. The Alma will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Emmanuel. Now, this prophecy is a telescoping prophecy. It was first applied to Ahaz, the king of Judah, about his barren wife who was going to have a child. But the angel, speaking for God, now it applies it to Jesus, the coming Messiah. And he says, this child will be Emmanuel, God with us. I thought of this last evening as I was going over the message. At Christmas time, we give gifts. And, we saw the depiction of Christmas. We saw the wise men, and they brought gifts of frankincense and of myrrh and of gold and those kind of things. Think with me just a minute. The gifts that we typically give are objects, are things. But the gift that Jesus, that God gave of His Son Jesus was a person. God gave His Son, and His Son is Emmanuel, God with us. You see, because it's always been God's desire and intention from the very beginning that it be about a relationship with Him. He sent His Son that we might have a relationship with His Son, and in so doing, we know God through Christ. And so we're told that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Number three, the significance of Christmas is this, is that Jesus Christ came not for His own sake, and not only for His own people, but for all people. The angel tells us that He will save His people from their sin. And we know how the story goes, that His own people rejected Him. When Jesus came into His physical ministry on the earth, and He was trying to minister in His own hometown, the people, even His own family, were offended at Him. They said, "Who is this to be teaching us? Who is this? Is this not Joseph? Excuse me, Jesus, Joseph's son, the carpenter? How did He get this learning?" And they were offended at Him. There's another account in the Scripture when Jesus has begun His ministry and people are gathering in houses, gathering local places, synagogues to listen to Him teach. And all of a sudden, His family shows up. Watch this. You think you have family problems. Jesus had family problems. His family shows up and someone comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, your family is here." And what Jesus didn't know was that the narrator of that passage says they had come to collect Him because they thought He was out of His mind. That's not very inviting from your own family, is it? They've come to collect you. They've come to get you because they think you're out of your mind. Jesus came to His own, but His own received Him not. We're told in the very first chapter of John that Jesus came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But that was part of God's plan so that He could expand beyond just the Jewish people to all of us. Now, if you are not of Jewish background here tonight, then you are Goyim. Do we have anyone of a Jewish background here tonight? Okay. There's some that have some Jewish background. Then we are Goyim, meaning Gentiles, meaning we are non-Jews. Well, Jesus came first to His own people, the Jews, and in God's plan and providence, He sent His Son not only for the Jewish people, but for all of us. And because of that plan, you and I, some 2,000 years later, are sitting in this church celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It's actually a fulfillment of God's covenant to Abraham, saying, "Through you, all nations on the earth will be blessed." Well, this Emmanuel, this Savior, gives us a beautiful Christmas gift. And I think this is really the heart of Christmas for every one of us, that we receive the Christmas gift of forgiveness and eternal life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. When we come to that place where we have embraced Jesus Christ in our life, we trust in what He has done for us, and we receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I know that in today's world, the whole concept of sin and having forgiveness of your sins is not real comfortable and not real popular. But I think if all of us were to be honest, we would all have to say we've all sinned. If we compare our lives to what we consider the Ten Commands, which have been given since the time of Moses, I think we would have to say, yes, we have broken those commands. All of us have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory, including me. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean I'm exempt from that. All of us have sinned. And therefore, all of us need God's forgiveness through Christ. All of us. If you're here tonight and for some reason you think that you don't need God's forgiveness, you don't need to be dealt with your sins, then I want to encourage you to consider your own life. There's one way that you can bypass the gift of forgiveness and enter into heaven. You can be perfect. And if you'll be perfect, then you can go to heaven. I don't know about you, but that's not something I can do. That's not something that I'm capable of. But because I've sinned, God has solved this problem through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. But it is not automatic, and it is not something that anyone else can do for you. You must invite Jesus Christ personally into your life. You must ask for His forgiveness. And when you do that, something very spectacular happens. We're told that new life is given to us. And that new life begins now and continues on for eternity. You see, eternal life doesn't begin after we die. Eternal life begins now. The word eternal means a life unending. I don't know about you, but as I celebrate Christmas, I'm reminded that, yes, this world is a beautiful place. There can be beautiful things. But after we leave here and we go back out into the world, we also realize there's a lot of ugliness in this world. I don't know about you, but I'm really not looking forward to staying in this world. I'm looking forward to God doing something new and bringing about a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to be with Him. I want to be part of that. How about you? Are you here tonight and have you received that gift, that Christmas gift of forgiveness, new life? Have you put your faith in Christ? I end tonight with the quotation from John chapter 1. It tells us that each one of us must make this personal decision. John chapter 1, verse 12. And it says this. Let me actually begin with verse 10. It's something I mentioned just a few moments ago. He, that is Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. When you receive Jesus Christ, His forgiveness, you are born anew, born again. I would challenge you on Christmas 2016, if you have never invited Christ in your life, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Savior and serve Him all year long, I challenge and encourage you to do that. Make it your personal invitation to Christ to come into your life, forgive your sins, that He might forgive you and give you that gift of eternal life. Let us pray. Father, thank You for the beauty of this night and of the accounting, the recounting of the Nativity, the first Christmas. And Lord, we may not know when that was in terms of a date, but we know the significance that Jesus Christ, Your Son, was born, the One who would save us from our sins, the One who is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank You for that gift. And I pray for each one here tonight. I pray especially for those that are skeptical, and I pray that You will draw their hearts, reveal Yourself to them, make Yourself real. Lord, if tonight, in the quietness of this moment, perhaps there are some whose hearts are opening towards You, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts. If that's you tonight, reach out in faith through prayer. He is only an invitation away. You can pray a prayer, a simple prayer, just like this. Lord, I want to know You. Come into my life. Make Yourself real to me. Forgive my sins. I may not understand all, but I believe You are the Christ, the Son of God. If you will pray a prayer like that, He will begin a miracle in your life. He will do something that you could never believe could happen in your life. Lord, do your work, the work of touching human hearts. For this we give you praise and glory and honor. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. We're going to close our service with the singing of the beautiful song, Silent Night, Holy Night. If our ushers will come and distribute the candles. Unfortunately, folks, I know that many will be disappointed, but we have had to upgrade our technology, and we're using battery-powered candles. We know there was an incident that somebody's hair was almost set on fire, and unfortunately, we have to be very careful with that. So if you'll take your candle, and you'll twist the bottom, the battery falls out. Okay, you twist it and the light comes on. You twist it clockwise.